Amen. What a blessing. We don't have to wonder about the outcome because we already know we're serving the winner. We're serving the King of Kings who will be victorious. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning, Lord. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love that sustained us and brought us again together here. Lord, I pray as we open your word that you would move me out of the way, Father, that you would speak your truth by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would be exalted and lifted up and glorified here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I've been reading the last while through the Old Testament again, as you've heard several times, as different things have jumped out to me. And I want to look at something in the book of Joshua this morning. But first off, I want to just kind of think back together over what has already transpired up to this point, because we've already seen with the children of Israel, God doing phenomenal, amazing things in the land of Egypt to deliver them, in spite of their grumbling and complaining, in spite of their doubting that God was able, in spite of when they first began to move there, that they said, hey, Moses, go away, leave us alone, we're fine, we don't really want to be delivered. We see God doing miraculous things, and as you read through, it's like a roller coaster. There's ups and downs, there's highs and lows, there's so much frailty on their part, and so many times that God has to chastise them to bring them back to himself, and so many times that he miraculously delivers them, even when they're being little jerks and troublemakers about it. Like, you could just ask nicely. You don't have to start out complaining and trying to stone Moses every time you're thirsty. Like, calm down a little bit. Like, you can ask. God already provided numerous times. So as you read through the story, you see so much up and down and up and down. You see so much failing, even to the point where they had to wander an extra 40 years in the wilderness, failing in their obedience to God, failing in their faith, failing in their trusting in him, and back and forth. Unfortunately, it's not that out of unusual in relation to many times in our lives, right? I mean, if we look back over the course of our lives, we can see that, yeah, the course of our life is heading towards the promised land, praise God. But how many times do I have ups and downs? How many times do I have failings and places where I go, man, I just totally failed to trust God's goodness there. I reacted in fear instead of reacting in faith. All these different things, we see it in them and so clearly, and sometimes it's easy to be really harsh towards them because, well, I mean, you got this cloud of fire and, you know, the fiery pillar and the cloud, and you know, you've seen Mount Sinai, you've seen all, well, what have we seen? I mean, we've seen some amazing things, right? We've seen Christ Jesus take not only my life and my heart, but those around us. We've seen him take lives that are completely broken and destroyed and remake them new, rebirth from scratch, a life that was totally destroyed and broken. We've seen hearts mended. We've seen marriages healed. We've seen people restored in ways that are just incredible. So, yeah, I mean, they maybe saw some physical things we haven't seen, but yet you look and you realize, man, it's not really fair for me to be hard on them when I realize that I'm weak and fail also. You look at, you know, even Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and you realize human tendency is that if they hadn't fallen, the next one along the line would have fallen. I mean, that's just, it's just so human to be weak in faith. So human to be failing to live up to God's perfect, holy, righteous standard. And that's normal as human beings. That's That's not unusual. It's kind of what we should expect, right? Not that we should live just, oh, well, just give up and just, oh, well, it's going to happen anyway, but rather to realize, yeah, I'm not any better than them. I'm not above that. I see those same tendencies in me, right? I see that same when things go wrong. My first tendency is to complain too, right? When things go wrong, my first tendency, instead of saying, God, I know you love me. I know you care. I know you know this situation. Would you help bring some kind of, you know, relief and help in this situation? Instead of saying, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have any money in the bank, or I don't, whatever the situation is, and you're freaking out, you're worried, you're stressed, you're fretting. And sometimes we hear the phrase, or we even say the phrase, like, well, there was nothing left to do but pray. Wow, that should have been the first step, right? There was nothing left to do but pray. I had done all the fretting and worrying and carrying the load myself so that I had the energy to do it. And there was nothing left to do but pray. Trust God that maybe he could pull something out of this. You know, there's the idea of, you know, even if we don't use the term, there's the idea of a Hail Mary. It's like, oh, just winging a prayer. I mean, that's the best you can do. It's like, it's a very hopeless situation, but, you know, you just throw up a prayer and hope that God comes through. And God is, meanwhile, waiting. I have all the riches of heaven at my fingertips. Everything that's needed for life and godliness is here and available. All you have to do is ask. It's all available to you. His grace is more than sufficient for every trial and every struggle we face, but how slow we are sometimes to remember that and to take advantage of it, to come to Him and say, you know, before it gets so desperate and so terrible, to come to Him and say, Lord, I see this situation arising before me, and I know that you know all and you know how this is all going to work out. I just pray for you to take over and you know, work your way in this situation. And many times we wait until it's right down at the very last minute, and all of a sudden we're, I need you, God, I need you. It's like, well, you didn't realize that before in the last 20 years of walking with me, or however long it's been, you didn't realize you needed me in every situation, not just the terribly desperate ones. If we see this up and down, this back and forth, as we, and it, you know, in some ways, as I read through, it's easy sometimes to feel a little bit discouraged about our tendencies, because it's really despicable. It's really frustrating to realize, yeah, I'm that way too. My tendencies are the same as theirs, and I find myself doing the same things, and we like to think we're a little bit better than that. We're not. But as we get here towards the end of the book of Joshua, there's a couple of verses here I want to read together. In spite of everything they've gone through, in spite of all the ups and downs, in spite of their sin to the point where God wanted to destroy them and said, Moses, I'll destroy them and make a new nation out of you. In spite of everything, we get to this section in Joshua chapter 21, beginning with verse 43. And it says, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. I just want to stop for a minute. As I did when I was reading that, and I came across that, and I'm like, man, there's so much up and down. There's so much back and forth. There's so much turmoil. It's such a rocky, wild ride for 40-some years here. And yet, when you step back and you look at it all and you see what God brought them to and how He worked and He moved, all that can be said is He's faithful. He's faithful. They weren't. We saw that thousands of times over. They weren't faithful. They struggled. They fumbled. They failed. They messed up. But God was faithful to the very last word of every single promise. There failed not aught, not one thing, of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. It all came to pass. In spite of them, praise God, in spite of their own weakness, in spite of their own tendencies towards fear over faith, in spite of their own weaknesses and tendencies towards sin and tendencies towards distraction and tendencies towards complaining and grumbling and all these things, in spite of all of that, God worked and moved in such a powerful, miraculous way that there failed not one word of all of His promises. Isn't that encouraging? To realize, yeah, I'm a mess. God knows I'm a mess. God knows I fail. God knows I'm weak. He knows my frailty. He remembers that I'm dust. But in spite of all of my stumbling and my struggling and my fighting against sin and fighting against my flesh and fighting against myself and losing those battles many times, in spite of all of that, God is able and more than able to bring victory and completion of His purposes in my life and through my life. What a blessing to know that He's not limited by my failings. He's not, His hand isn't shortened because I don't have the faith to believe it. Yeah, it might cause me more struggle and more pain and more hardship for a time as I have to learn these things. We have to learn to trust. Many times it hurts. But it should be an encouragement, and it's a blessing to realize, in spite of my failings, in spite of my weakness, in spite of all of that, He's able to fulfill every single promise in His Word. And He will perform every single word of His promises to His people. In spite of it all. I think it's important for us to focus our attention on God's faithfulness. It's easy for us to get focused on what we can see and feel. And you know what? Everything we can see and feel is frail. It's failed. It's fallen. It's part of this corrupted, fallen creation. And we see failure all around us. And it's easy to begin to think that that's the norm. And it is for us. But it's not the norm for God. In spite of all of that, we see God faithfully bringing to pass. Not one word failed of all the good things He promised to them. Not one word. Not one thing. There wasn't one thing that He said, hey, I want to give you this. I plan to give you this. And it didn't happen. Every single promise, every single thing, every single blessing, every piece of land, every square foot of property that He promised them was theirs. It became theirs. They claimed it. They dwelt in it. He gave them peace. He gave them rest from their enemies all around, in spite of themselves. What a blessing to know that. Because the longer I live and the longer I walk in this life, the more I realize if it's even a little bit dependent on me, I'm doomed. I'm done for. There's nothing. There's no hope. There's nothing in me that is sufficient to carry me through to the end. But praise God, it's not on me. It's not in me. It's not dependent on me. It's Him fulfilling His word in and through me by His grace and His power in spite of me. Such a blessing to see that, to realize that, yes, they were a mess, and so am I. But yet God is faithful. Yet God is faithful. He's so faithful that in spite of my weakness, He can, He does, and He will bring about His purposes to the good of those who love Him. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. It doesn't say we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose and don't ever make any mistakes that would get in the way of what He wants to work. No, in spite of that, in spite of the fact that you and I will make mistakes and we will sin and we will fall, in spite of that, we know that His purposes will be for our good if we're following Him and we love Him and we're committed to Him and called according to His purpose. In spite of all of that, it's not if you don't make any mistakes, then God will fulfill His promises. No, in spite of the fact that you will make mistakes, He's still more than capable of doing that because He's so faithful. I want to look at some of the ways we see God's faithfulness displayed, because there's many of them. And it's important because sometimes we only see the faithfulness at the end. Like at the end of the book of Joshua here, or near the end of the book of Joshua. I don't think that many times the children of Israel, as they're walking through their day-to-day lives, wandering in the wilderness, fighting, seeing, you know, getting delayed to enter the promised land, having, you know, these difficulties and these hardships. I don't think that all those times, many of those times, they didn't really see or understand or notice God's faithfulness being displayed and worked out before them. One of the main ways we see God's faithfulness is in chastening us, continuing to faithfully chasten us and punish us to draw us to more obedience, to draw us to follow. We don't like that one as much, right? We like the faithfulness that says, hey, everything's good now. But God's faithfulness is displayed in the fact He didn't give up on them. He didn't just say, okay, you know what? I'm just going to drop you guys out here in the wilderness. If you want to find your way out of the wilderness, that's on you. He continued to strive with them, to lead them, to guide them, to punish when needed, to purify them so that they could receive these good things that He wanted to give them. He didn't quit on them. And if they had had their eyes open, and maybe some of them did, they would have realized that the chastening itself was an expression of God's faithfulness in not abandoning them to themselves, to their own lusts, to their own desires, to their own fears, to their own weaknesses. Psalm chapter 1, or chapter 119, 74 through 76, he says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. The psalmist here clearly says, the affliction that I've received, it was an expression of God's faithfulness. That's a maturity level that a lot of us don't necessarily have on a day-to-day basis, right? To be able to look at the difficulties and the hardships that come in our lives and say, oh yeah, God is so faithful. We look at the good times and we say, oh, God's so faithful that He blessed me in that way. He's so good to me. David, or whoever the psalmist was of Psalm 119, looks at it and says, God, it's your faithfulness that you've continued to strive with me and to afflict me because it was good for me and I needed it, and it's an expression of your faithfulness that you didn't quit on me. In Job chapter 5, verse 17 through 18, he says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For He maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and His hands make whole. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. It's God's mercy and goodness that He continues to work with us, that He doesn't quit on us. We see His faithfulness exemplified by correction, by chastening. Psalm 119, verse 67 through 68, he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept your word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The psalmist here has the maturity and hindsight to look back and say, God, you were good through all of that. You weren't just good that you brought me out of it. You were good that you brought me into it, because before I was afflicted, I strayed. Now I'm sticking closer to your word. It was good for me that I was afflicted. It was good because it purified me and it helped me to walk faithful. He sees the chastening of God as an expression of God's faithfulness instead of an expression of, oh, God doesn't like me very much anymore. No, God loves me so much that he hasn't quit on me. He still keeps on chastening me. He must think there's hope for me. He must think I'm not a completely lost cause, because if I was, he wouldn't mess with me anymore. Praise God for that chastening. Proverbs 3, verse 11 through 13. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Amen. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he says, just like a father who has a son that he really delights in. You see that sometimes, and it's not the right way for a father to be towards children, but sometimes you see a father who has a favorite, and he'll take special pains to make sure that child gets things right and progresses in life, even to the point where sometimes that child will develop a bitterness attitude because they're like, Dad's always so hard on me. But as opposed to the child that he doesn't really get hard on, sometimes the child he doesn't get hard on is because he's like, oh, well, they're a failure anyway. They're not going to ever amount to anything, right? So it's like, whatever, might as well not try with them. It's a blessing. He says, a father who delights in his child is going to do what's necessary to see that child grow up into what they should be. Even the chastening, it's done from love. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11, he says, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him for whom the Lord loveth. He chasteneth and scourgeth every son which he receiveth. If we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. The fact that God's bringing chastening to my life is proof that he still loves me, that he's not given up on me, that I'm a child of his, that he cares enough about me to strive with me. He goes on down and he says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So we see God's faithfulness in his striving with us, his chastening us, his correction, not just letting us go our own way, not just letting us continue to be wallowing constantly in sin. We see his faithfulness in that he strives with us and continues to call us higher and closer to him. We see his faithfulness by his grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 through 9, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom we are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. He's pointing out here how God's faithfulness is exemplified in the fact that his grace continues again and again and again. His grace exemplifies His faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God's faithfulness, again, pointed out and showed forth by His continuing grace. He's not going to allow you to have more than you can handle if you will draw from His strength. There's a way of escape so that you're able to bear it, so you don't become overcome and defeated. God is faithful, He says. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, He says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God's faithfulness displayed in His grace that is extended again and again and again. We see God's faithfulness by preservation, by preserving us, by taking care of us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 through 22, He says, "Prove all things, hold that which is fast. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that hath called you, who also will do it." In spite of that, all these things that you're going to face, He's going to bring those things, bring you where you need to be. And His faithfulness is manifested here by the fact that He's preserving you. He says, spirit, soul, and body, that He's preserving you blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is guarding and protecting you on every side, spiritually speaking, to preserve you so that you will be blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, "Faithful is He that hath called you, who also will do it." Yeah. He will do it. The promises of God will be fulfilled. There will not fail one word of the good things that God has promised to His people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5, He says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things that we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." God's faithfulness here shown forth by His establishing us, His helping us to go, to become grounded, and preserving us and directing our hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Hebrews 12:2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Christ is not just the author, He's the finisher. He's preserving us. His faithfulness endures. He wasn't just faithful yesterday. He wasn't just faithful 20 years ago when we came to Him, or whenever it was that we came to Him. He was faithful all the way up through. He's still faithful, and He's going to be faithful to be the finisher of that work that He began in us. It's going to come to pass by His grace and His strength and His faithfulness. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, He says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." God's purging and purifying to the end that you will be saved and that you will be part of those who are able to come before Him confidently. And He says, commit your souls to Him. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. You're going to be purified. You're going to be cleansed. But He says, commit the keeping of your souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Everything that He does in our lives is for our good. Even when it hurts, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, sometimes especially when it hurts and when it's hard and when it's difficult, because He knows what we need to purify us, to cleanse us, so we're prepared to stand before Him, so we're prepared to enter His holy place where no sin can dwell. So we're purified and cleansed and ready to stand before Him as a spotless bride, to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we see God's faithfulness by His character. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, He says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. The promises that He has made, He will keep those. We may not end up on the receiving end of that if we're not following along faithfully, but the promises that are made are going to be fulfilled. He says, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And He has promised, as we see in Hebrews, that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. He's going to be faithful to His word. He's going to be faithful to His character. He's going to be faithful to Himself. You and I can live by that and depend on that. Build our lives on that. He's faithful. That's His very essence, His very character. He's faithful. That's who He is. I already quoted Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He's faithful to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when He begins a work in a life, He's faithful to continue working on that life. And He's faithful to fulfill His promises to those who will follow Him and who will cling to Him in spite of their own weaknesses, in spite of their own failings, in spite of their own lacks. He's faithful. I want to look back one more time at Joshua 21, 43 through 45. The Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein, and the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that He sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them, and the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand, and there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. It all came to pass. Praise the Lord this morning for His faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that in spite of ourselves, You are faithful. And that when You purpose and begin a work in a heart, Your promises are true and sure. And it's not if we don't ever mess up. It's not if we're not weak and human. It's in spite of those things, by Your grace and Your strength, You're faithful to fulfill every word of Your promises. Everything that you purpose to do in a life who surrendered to you. Father, help us to take courage in this. We're not serving a God who's here today and somewhere else tomorrow. We're serving a God who, by His very nature, by His very character, and by all His actions, is faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.